Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. I'm Ashutosh Garg, and it is my pleasure to invite my good friend, Shesh Kulkarni. Shesh has flown down from Bangalore for this recording. Thank you, Shesh.
Pleasure, Ashutosh. Thank you for asking me out.
So, Shesh, you had an amazing life. You were born in Karnataka. You grew up in Delhi because your dad was in Delhi. You worked in Nagaland. Then you started out with Intercraft. You worked for KM Consultants, and then you decided to choose logistics as a career. And then you worked for some of the big American companies like Pax Global, UTI. And in 2010, you decided to become an entrepreneur. You exited in 2015 and went back to being a top executive. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear a little bit about your professional journey, what your learnings were during that period, before we move into other parts of the interview.
So, Ash, firstly, thank you very much. I think, let truth be told, few things in early life happened because they just happened. Because, one was trying to find one's feet, and one did few things here and there. Intercraft happened because campus interview, it just one went through. Mm-hmm. Garment was at that time the most talked about things. And I walked into this fancy office. It was absolutely out of the world. And I said, wow, is this the world how people operate? Loved it. But it was only after a year I realized that somehow I was working very hard, but I was not enjoying mm-hmm. as much as I should be. So I realized that I don't have that calling. And when you are young, you also realize one other thing that, sometimes you start thinking that you've learned everything. So I knew I did not want this. So I said, yaar, kuch aur karna. This is not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Kya karna? I was not very clear about it, but I said, definitely I want to do this. Mm-hmm. So, and like you say, I'll figure this out as I go. So I jumped the ship and I ended up with a consulting firm. That also happened by default. I knew somebody, and they said, yeah, this is what we want to do it. We met up, they said, please, let's do it. It was again a kind of a startup mode. While they said they were a consulting company, largely focused on was recruitments. And quickly I realized that only way the business is going to run is that you have to go out and get some business, mm-hmm. service it, and then do the maintenance of the relationship. It introduced me to a very interesting side of me that I was first time was interacting with people at various levels, and I was really dealing with corporate world. And that's when I discovered, I had few assignments with logistics industry in trying to do some placements and all that. That is when I realized that this is a very interesting space. Mm-hmm. And what attracted me it was very early days logistics. I found that somehow the quality of people were not, this industry lacked. Yeah. Two, it was a repeat order business. And what that meant was that you didn't have to go out, because any other industry which was very active in that time was a durable industry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember Usha International, the HCLs and the Pertec computers and all that. Correct. So these were the brothers. They were all very, very Modi. Xerox, they had a cult in themselves. So, and I was not very keen to go out and be selling Xerox and copiers and all that. But not that there was anything negative about it, but it meant that a slog on a daily basis. And I felt a repeat order business very interesting. Two, it was people's business. Something which I always enjoyed, meeting people, hanging out with them, talking to them. And it was in those days, my definition of people was meeting people. It's evolved from then on to what it is now. So that brought me to the logistics industry. And I felt there is a very interesting opportunity out here to do something and to create it. And the rest is history. It's now almost 28, 29 years I've been in this business. God has been very kind.
You must be one of the very senior and
there are few seniors to me as well
in this business.
There are few other people who had a great story to tell. One of them is my ex-boss, and he just retired and a few years back. But great guy, you learned a lot, and he was ex-Union Carbide. So one learned a lot from him as well. Yeah.
So, you know, the supply chain logistics business has become like a specialization in the last 10, 15 years. But I remember when I used to talk about, you know, when I used to work for ITC, and I'm now talking about the 80s, you know, there was a study that was done in ITC and to what was the core competence of ITC. And in those days, ITC was primarily in cigarettes, hotels, and paper.
Right.
And everyone was saying cigarettes will be the thing. And what came out was that ITC's biggest strength was distribution.
Right.
And that, you know, their strength was distribution because they could manufacture a packet of cigarettes in Parel in Mumbai. It used to be a factory in those days. And they could deliver it to the far parts of Northeast India within 24 hours. Today, everything has changed.
Okay.
So what is your perspective on the changes that have happened in the supply chain?
So it's interesting that you should ask me this question right up front. A few years back, I was speaking at one of the industry forums.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions I asked, you know, what do you tell 200 CEOs who are sitting in the room? You know, they kind of know, and they all have accomplished so much in their life. What do you go and tell them?
Mm.
So I asked a very simple question to them. And my question to them was that how many of you are involved in the marketing of your product? Almost 95% of the people sitting in that room raised their hand and said, yes, they do it. I said, how many of you are involved with the finance of your company? Almost 80% raised their hand and said, I'm involved in the finance part of it. I said, okay, and how many of you are involved with the production and the manufacturing? Almost 65% raised their hand. Then I asked them a question, how many of you are involved with the logistics of your company? 1% raised their hand.
So help me understand the meaning of logistics.
So this is the point I was trying to make. I said, listen, your cash realization cycle is carried out through your last mile delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the logistics, the final delivery to your customer. That's where your cash, whatever work you've done, your all product investments, R&D, everything is involved in all that. And you produce something and then you take your eyes off it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not focused on your final mile delivery, which I think has been the biggest irony of the industry, that the CEOs take their eyes off and delegate that. Result of which, what happens? You know, today in India, little almost upwards of 20% is the logistics cost in a product.
Mm-hmm.
In a developed economy, is anything between 3 to 6%.
Wow.
And nobody talks about wastage, lost parcels, damages and stuff like that. You know, so and the inventory which sits there, unaccounted inventory which sits there, this is all cash impact on your cash flow, right? So having this, slowly the industry and the people are waking up to this reality that what am I doing? People have warehouses and realized, you know, what is lying in that warehouse? Who is looking at it? In old days, you know, people used to say, "Mereko, there's 10,000 square feet of warehouse." These days, people say, listen, I don't need that much. I would rather outsource it. Now, thereby becoming aware that I don't want to have something. And if you outsource anything, you get a bill. And the moment you get a bill, you wake up to that reality.
Yeah.
Why am I getting billed for this?
Yeah.
So outsourcing has really opened up many avenues. And certain costs, you know, tend to not show up on your cost sheet. They tend to just slip into your balance sheet. So waking up to some of these realities is very important.
Yeah.
And I think logistics is becoming very, very interesting now. Most of the people are waking up that, you know, I need to focus on the last mile delivery. But that's where the cash realization happens.
You're absolutely right. I wish I had known you 10, 12 years ago when I was running Guardian. I think our biggest bugbear was how do you manage 65 to 70,000 SKUs in our warehouses.
Right.
And our biggest losses used to be in warehouses.
And you would have not known, even while you knew the loss is there, but you would not have known how to plug it.
We didn't know how to plug it.
Yeah.
And the warehouse manager always had an explanation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the loss was there.
Yeah.
So
I think something which I go around telling every CEO I interact, and I, one of the things which I focus extensively on is to create an interface with the C-suite level people. What do I tell them? I tell them only one thing. Let's talk We need to know, you need to know who your service providers are. You know, this is not a delegated activity. You should know, you might never, there might never ever be a need. You know, it's a less glamorous, but people are waking up in earlier days for less glamorous kind of business. You, when you said logistics, you said, chalo, this is, you know, the fag end. People are waking up how important the delivery is becoming now. And of course, thanks to the likes of Amazon and all that, you know, they have made a huge difference.
Thank you.
And also, I go around telling everybody that do not ignore anybody who puts capital. You know, people who are building infrastructure, be it the carriers, you know, be it the airlines or the shipping lines or the truck service providers, they are putting capital.
Mm.
You know, you are just riding on it and you put in a parcel on it, but somebody is out there investing money,
creating
infrastructure.
Correct.
And you value that. If you would like to recognize, the question is better you pay 2 cents more.
Yeah.
And then realize that over a period of time, you had on-time deliveries, you had no damages, you have no customer satisfied customer, you had, you know, you get repeat order, you look what you've saved. Then to save 2-3 cents and then compromise the whole service.
Mm. So, you know, you spoke about Amazon very briefly,
right.
You know, about how
right.
Amazon is making some changes in the way right. people are perceiving supply chain. And I'll take my own example. I mean, as an Amazon Prime customer, I normally get my goods within 24 hours.
Right.
And now I'm beginning to get impatient to say, how can I get it faster?
Faster.
So what is changing in the minds of the consumer? Because you said that it is the last mile delivery. That earlier, and when I say, let's say the era before Amazon, I would be willing to wait for a week
sure.
to get my supplies.
Sure.
Today, I get impatient if I don't get it in 24 hours.
Right.
What is changing in my mind as a consumer?
So, I think there are two things which have happened here. One is creating a demand, okay? And then creating a supply to it, making that product available. Now, how subtly today in the electronic media, this whole the demand and supply formula has worked beautifully. So they create a demand and they, you see an ad and you say, okay, this is coming on the TV and I want to get this. And you do go on to your net, you place an order and they tell you we'll deliver you in 48 hours. So how organized the whole process has become and hub and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So these days, the warehouses they have created they provide a certain base level of inventory. They have a mother warehouses which stocks in this thing, but the replenishment happens.
Mm.
So they know what is the cutoff, and if the campaign is being run, the way the inventories are managed and kept and the supply chain is managed, beautiful.
Mm.
So today, if you say I want this, I'll tell you why. My other day, my father asked me something he wanted to, which is a very you know product. He lives in Delhi, and you know something which he wanted, which is available only in down south. And he said, can you bring that with me? And I sent my chap around and he said, he's not available.
Mm.
I said, okay. Next thing is, I went to Amazon and we found it there. We ordered it and I said, deliver it.
Mm.
So now I'm just realizing, why did I even, possibly I spent more money
correct.
Trying to do this. And here is the convenience of the delivery.
Absolutely.
And it's getting delivered tomorrow. So it's, look at that.
Mm. So today, of course, the food is being delivered.
Everything is delivered.
Everything is being delivered. Yeah. So, I'm going to ask you a little provocative question. Are we becoming a nation of delivery boys? Is that the kind of careers we are offering to our people?
You see, I think this is something which I think this country has to wake up. As it is, we are a very, you know, we are layers of structure in this company, in this country. You look at the people, the society divides you in many categories. I think a delivery boy is the most significant person in the whole system.
Yeah.
He is the one who does the cash realization. He has to be looked after. He has to be trained. He has to be invested in. And he has to be spoken to in the way it needs to be spoken. We still are very dismissive about few things. But I think it is not the delivery boy. We are slowly becoming consuming economy. Which is what is exactly.
Correct.
The urbanization rate in India is upwards of 18%.
Amazing.
Can you imagine that? That we know the villages are no more villages now. Slowly the whole, today somebody sitting in the remote village and he sees something, you know, which is available in Delhi, he said, I also want this. And what he does, he just goes online and orders it, and he has the same product available. And he gets it also in 2 days, and you get it also in 2 days.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's interesting. So I think it's a great thing for India. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely gung-ho about it. And that's the reason why I have stayed in this country. I've not, there have been many opportunities to leave this country and go out. I said, no, mm-hmm. this is the place. It's taken a little longer, but I think it's the very exciting place. The next two decades are going to be exciting.
One of the questions that I'm often asked by young entrepreneurs or startup entrepreneurs is, what is strategy? And I find a lot of them go off track because they haven't thought through.
Right.
What are your thoughts on strategy?
You know, the every service, every product has a market segment very well defined. Your strategy is that how to make it relevant to that market segment.
Right.
To how to make it relevant to your end customer. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple thing. You want something, how do I give that to you? That's a simple strategy. You want it at the right price, you want it faster, and you have to keep it very simple. There is no, I'm sure you talk to any large corporate companies, they might have made a very complex PowerPoint presentation on it, but at the base of it, the formula would be very simple. So it's the, for me, any strategy is know your customer, know where they are, know what they wanted, and just figure out how to give it to them. It's a very simple three-step approach. Mm-hmm. If it becomes very complex, then something is wrong with the strategy. Mm-hmm. Strategy has to be simple.
And driven by the customer.
You, because end of the day, he is the one who pays for it.
Correct.
So it has to be relevant to him. Mm-hmm. Anything which is not relevant to your customer, and if he says, listen, I'm not enjoying this. I don't like this, what I've got it. Take it as a feedback, because I think it's good. Such people help you go back and do the course correction. And ask a question, what is it you didn't like? What is it you expected and where I failed? Hmm. And I'm telling you, they'll give you some very interesting insights.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And then after you exited from your business, you went back into the
corporate world.
Big corporate world.
Yeah.
What led you to do that?
You know, I think you need to know your type. Hmm. We all are wired in a certain way. Everybody can't be a corporate in the corporate world. Everybody can't be an entrepreneur. I felt that I was a better suited to be a business manager. I could do a great job, and that's why I went back. I belong to the corporate world far more than to be an entrepreneur. So that is what I had a after 5 years I exited for various reasons of strategic. Reasons I decided to exit out. But when I went back to corporate world, I felt that is where I was.
Back like a fish to the water.
Back like a fish. It was something which came naturally to me. And that's what I did.
Wonderful.
There's no one straight answer to it. I'm a builder. Mm. So when I went to the corporate world, it's not that I went into the maintenance mode. I like going to the ground zero, and I started rebuilding this. So with MIQ, it's been an awesome journey. Now it's upwards of 3.5 years, and we've come very long way. And we've covered some significant grounds.
Wonderful.
And the India organization has almost grown 5 times, which is
amazing. Congratulations. So,
yeah.
That's amazing.
So that is what it is.
Well, good luck. I hope to see your company amongst the biggest logistics and supply chain companies of this country.
Inshallah.
It probably still is. But.
Yeah.
So moving on, Shesh, you know, when I was reading about you, there were two very interesting quotes that I read, and I'm going to take the first quote, which was that it was a constant battle between fear of failure and desire to succeed, which one grew up with.
Right.
And earlier in our chat, you said that life happened. So I'd love to get your perspective of this.
So, Ash, I come from a very humble background. Grew up in Delhi. Grew up in Arkapuram. Grew up in Sarojini Nagar. When you come with that kind of a background, and you always, only thing which was very synonymous with me was my cycle. Till my college days, that's what I had. And then it was a Vijay Super Scooter for very long time. Now, you always looked up to the world, and you saw all these fancy cars going by, and I used to drive by Malcha Magh, and I used to see these big houses. I used to drive by various golf things. So you always looked at it. You know, it was very more, you know, aspirational that, okay, you know, this is the, there is a world out there. And, but here I was, what I was, the reality was, here I was on a cycle, and I was driving around wherever on the streets of Delhi, and with all these dreams. It was absolutely the you know, you could see that in a movie, you know, when you see it, and you're going on a cycle, and you just, the car goes by and says, ek din mere paas bhi car hogi, kind of a nonsense. So, that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
So, the fear, I think these are two very important components. Fear of failure and desire to succeed. They are like the brakes and the accelerator in a vehicle. You need them in good measure. Every car cannot just have great brake and have a very poor accelerator, and cannot have a great accelerator and have no poor brake. So they both must come, because
and both generate adrenaline.
They both generate adrenaline. Also,
they
know how to keep a check on each other.
Absolutely.
So the fear of failure knows that, you know, if you do something foolish, it creates a little checkpoint. It's like a brake. And the desire to succeed, like the accelerator. But you also should know that you can't go over the top, and you just, you know, you can't run a marathon like a 100-meter sprint.
Yeah.
So I think so to me, a thought, this has just stayed in my mind, that you need to have them in good measure, because they just become a good balancing and checkpoints in your system.
Very interesting. The second comment you made, and I see the way you are turned out even for our chat today, you said, I still get up in the morning, wear my suit and tie and head for work, which is my way of saying I don't take my day casually.
Right.
How do you, what would your comment be on dressing norms today?
No comments on that. No comments on that. But I think each one to himself, they know how to carry themselves. And the generation does an awesome job of the way they carry themselves. Now, I wish I could do such a good job. But I think when you are well attired, or you carried yourself well, it does something to you. What it does to you, it puts you in a structure. It puts your whole mind, the body, the thought process, in, it defines a certain way. And when you go out, people respond to you the same way. You mean to be, you want to give other person the respect. Why should I land up in my any of my customer's office in just a jeans or a wearing something? Because it's not about me, it's about him.
Yeah.
This is about my giving respect and telling him, listen, I'm serious. I want to listen to you. I want to hear you out, and I will do my best. Because I think if you take yourself casually, particularly the kind of business I'm in, when you are in people's business, if you take yourself lightly, no way you can take others serious. So you have to be serious about yourself. You have to be, you know, you got to do that little bit to tell the world that, you know, I don't take you lightly. I respect you. If they are important to me, would you go anywhere which is an important place just in a casual way? No.
True.
So, same way, I don't step out of my house because I know that's where my bread and butter is. I earn my bread and butter there. And I take it seriously.
Wonderful.
I don't compromise on that.
Oh, that's well said. Very well said. So, moving on now to a few questions related to Shesh Kulkarni, my friend. You obviously have a very hectic schedule. And two related questions to this. One is, what keeps you going every morning? And how do you manage work-life balance? Because I know you have shared that your children are young.
Right.
And you do spend a lot of time with them.
Right.
So what keeps you going every morning?
I'm hungry. I'm still hungry. When I say that, I don't mean it in a very in an obnoxious way. I still think there's so much more to be done. You see, I think as a generation, we are one of the very lucky generation. We saw in 60s and 70s how the world was.
Correct.
Right? It was just very, very slow-paced. There was one telephone in the whole colony. There was one television in the whole colony.
Black and
white. Black and white. And you would line up to go and sit in people's houses to see it. I've seen and done all that. There was one Chitrahar every Wednesday. That's what I grew up with. Then came the color TV era, and you know, the houses have TV. And look now, the internet era. You say that, you know, you order something and it gets delivered. You don't even go to the mall. You get everything online. You travel around the world and look at the technology, what it has done to you. I just think that every 3 years, if you get into the habit of unlearning, you know, in old days, it was 20-year cycle.
Yeah.
You know, you learn something and you stayed with that.
Yeah.
But today, whatever you learn in 3 years, it becomes irrelevant.
Mm.
So if you get into that habit, it's very interesting. The world is changing faster than we can even think. You just think, this is what I would like to do it. And then you, 10 days later, you realize that somebody else has come up with something a little better and new.
Yeah.
And you realize, look at the old companies. They are not there. So with that happening, there is so much to learn, Ash.
Mm.
So much to learn. So much to, you know, unlearn in yourself. So much to learn. So how can I die low? I just think the world is happening.
Directly.
So, right. And you have to be out there. And how can I say, listen, so that drives me.
Wonderful.
And every day I just think the world is changing. And the business I'm in, the supply chain, the logistics, the world, you know, the amount of technology which has come into our business is unbelievable. You think of one and it's out there. So you realize, I just thought about it, how already somebody has done it. That means you're so behind that people have a head start on it. So to stay relevant, I think you have to stay engaged.
Wonderful. One question I'll ask all my guests is, talk to me a little bit about your learnings from your failures. And these don't necessarily have to be work-related.
Right. Ash, I think when I look at my work life, I don't have complaints. God has been kind to me. And I fairly had a decent professional life. But I think a good professional is a professional who's got a very well-balanced life. My biggest failure, this had dawned on me a few years back. I failed as a son. I think I failed as a brother. Because I just got very busy with my life. And I was just running. And somewhere along the line, I did not give family the quality time what they should have had got. Okay. And it's only later you realize, because 20s and 30s just fly by. You don't even realize when you are, you know, there is no bigger addiction in life than success. Once you get that, you are just running. So, and you want more of it. And in the process, few things get left out. And in my case, I think I did not give a quality life to my family, which to me, when I look back now, and I feel very bad, and I definitely want to not let that do. So I overcome. I'm available to my children in a big way.
Yeah.
I'm sure if Shubha listens, she said, listen, you've got to be a better husband as well. Mm-hmm. So, but I make it a point now that I am spending some quality time with my family. I'm trying to stay connect with them. And they've been wonderful. They've been very, very kind to me. You know, they understand. But I have woken up to this reality that you need to strike a balance.
Mm.
It's very important to build a professional success, but not at the cost of your personal family life. So if you become aware about it, then, you know, imagine what it can do to you in the long run, because you need that balance and it's required. You only, as you are aging, you realize, listen, you know, mere log kaha hai, you know, and you look back, are ye kaise ho gaya? Then you have to do that. And imagine if you have invested properly, then, you know, then you are on the podium together.
Very true.
Yeah,
very true. Shesh, thank you very much for all the time you spent with us. I think your words of wisdom will really be appreciated by all our young listeners and everyone else who listens to our podcast. I'm grateful you found the time to come. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ash. And love this. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.